Imagine, spending 20 years meticulously building this massive digital library.
Oh, yeah, hundreds of games, thousands of dollars.
Exactly. Countless hours of saved data,
Yeah.
all locked behind a password and like a physical pass key and two-factor authentication. Your vault is airtight.
Or so you think, right?
Right, because that on a random Tuesday morning, a teenager spoofing a phone number just calls a customer service rep, reads off a single digital receipt from like 3 years ago, and your entire 20-year history is wiped away.
Just gone.
Handed over to a stranger in less than 5 minutes. No hacking, no code, just a phone call.
It sounds like a theoretical nightmare, honestly, but I mean, it is precisely the reality we are currently operating
It
in.
really is. And welcome, everyone. Today is Monday, August 17, 2026. For this deep dive, we are pulling our source material from the latest edition of the Tekken Morning Report, which details six massive cybersecurity earthquakes that have hit the digital world just this week.
Yeah, and if you just skim the headlines, you might see like six totally unrelated tech stories, a highly technical exploit on the Nintendo Switch 2 over here, and then a staggering 24 billion record password leak over there.
Right, but our mission today, for you listening, is to look past the surface panic. We are going to connect the dots and uncover this unified and frankly terrifying paradigm shift happening right now in how digital fortresses are breached.
Because the entire battlefield is changing beneath our feet. I mean, for decades, we viewed security breaches as isolated failures of software.
Like a broken lock on a door.
Exactly. But when you synthesize these specific six events, a very, very different picture emerges.
So to really understand how that battlefield is shifting, we first need to understand the old rules of engagement, what we might call the traditional front lines,
Right.
the classic software arms race, where attackers try to break code using other code. Which brings us to our first earthquake, the Nintendo Switch 2 exploit.
Yeah, this one kicked off earlier in the summer on July 8th. A renowned security researcher known as Gedzin.
Oh, the PlayStation guy.
Yeah, exactly. Someone famous for cracking the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, he decided to cross into Nintendo territory, and he managed to release a userland exploit for the Switch 2.
Okay, let's unpack this. Or wait, stop right there, because I read the technical breakdown in the report and it felt like reading a foreign language.
It gets dense, yeah.
It mentions that the Switch 2's WebKit implements something called an ARM pointer authentication code, or PAIC, and that this PAIC supposedly blocks traditional ROP attacks. What
Yeah.
does any of that actually mean?
Let's translate that. Imagine a computer's memory is a massive library filled with instruction manuals. A traditional ROP attack, which stands for return-oriented programming, is when a hacker sneaks into the library, takes sentences from all the existing books, and stitches them together.
To create a brand new malicious instruction manual.
Exactly. They don't bring in new books, they weaponize the ones already there.
So they're basically creating a ransom note out of magazine cutouts using the system's own memory.
That is a perfect way to visualize it. Now, to stop that, hardware manufacturers introduced PAC pointer authentication code. Think of PAC as a magical cryptographic wax seal placed on every single page in that library.
Okay, I'm following.
If a hacker tries to rip a page out and stitch it somewhere else, the wax seal breaks. The system instantly realizes it's been tampered with and shuts down the process entirely.
How did his Gizine get past the wax seals?
He essentially wrote a native ARM64 ROP implementation entirely from scratch.
Wow.
Yeah, he found a completely undocumented, highly complex path to rearrange those pages without triggering the seals. And he did it completely offline. It works on all firmware versions of the Switch 2.
That's wild.
Gazian himself noted that working on this ARM architecture is incredibly frustrating, like far more annoying than working on standard x86 processors. But he proved it's possible.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit more,
Yeah.
because there is a massive flashing warning label attached to this story in the Tekken report.
Right, the caveat.
This is strictly a userland exploit. There is no kernel access, you cannot run custom firmware, and there is no homebrew yet. It is explicitly not a jailbreak.
Correct.
So if we think of the Switch 2 as a highly secure bank, Gazin essentially spent months figuring out a brilliant, virtually impossible way to break through the front doors, bypass the armed guards, and get into the lobby. But he is still completely locked out of the actual vault.
That's right.
If he's just stuck standing in the lobby, why is the hacking community celebrating this as a massive historic turning point?
Well, what's fascinating here is what that broken front door represents for the future. I mean, the sheer technical difficulty of navigating that ARM architecture proves that Nintendo's hardware defenses are exceptionally tough.
Right.
Gazin's success is the very first real foothold, and the hacking community operates entirely on momentum. Now that a high-profile PlayStation researcher has proven that the initial layer can be cracked, the theoretical dam has broken.
So it's a matter of time.
Exactly. The prediction in the security world is that within 6 to 12 months, someone will use this lobby access to find a suitable kernel exploit and blow open the vault. But for now, it's a testament to how grueling the traditional code versus code arms race has become on modern hardware.
But that's what makes our next set of earthquakes so baffling to me. Yeah. While console hackers are spending months of grueling effort just trying to get into the lobby of a gaming device, enterprise software flaws are leaving the vaults of multi-million dollar companies just swinging wide open in the breeze.
That's a huge contrast.
The Tekken Report highlights two active nightmares in the enterprise space. First, the Arista VeloCloud Orchestrator vulnerability.
Yes. This is CVE-2026, a Festite 12. And the severity here cannot be overstated. It carries a CVSS score of 10.0.
A perfect 10.
A perfect maximum level critical rating.
Walk us through the mechanics of a 10.0. What does this vulnerability actually let an attacker do?
Well, it is an unauthenticated OS command injection. To understand that, imagine an organization's network is a massive corporate skyscraper. The VeloCloud Orchestrator is the central control room managing all the traffic, the SD-WAN infrastructure. Normally, you need a badge, a retina scan, and a password to even look at the control panel.
Right.
But an unauthenticated OS command injection means the software has a flaw where it takes input from the outside world and passes it directly to the underlying operating system without checking if the person is authorized.
So it's like putting a public suggestion box on the sidewalk outside the skyscraper. But the box is secretly a pneumatic tube that goes directly to the CEO's desk, and the CEO is just hypnotized to blindly execute whatever is written on the slip of paper.
Brilliantly put, yes. Any remote attacker, anywhere in the world, can drop a malicious command into that tube and take full control of the entire network infrastructure. No password required.
That is terrifying.
It is. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, recognized how catastrophic this is and ordered all organizations to apply a security patch by July 30, 2026.
And since today's August 17th, that deadline is long gone. Any unpatched system is just sitting out there, totally exposed. And VeloCloud isn't an isolated incident either. The report also flags a vulnerability in Enable N Central, a remote system management platform.
Yeah, that one is an authentication bypass vulnerability with a CVSS score of 8.2, and attackers have been actively exploiting it since July 31.
So how is that different from the command injection?
An authentication bypass is like a faulty badge scanner at the server room door. You swipe a blank piece of plastic, the scanner glitches, and the door just unlocks. Because N Central is a management platform used by IT providers to control thousands of client computers, bypassing that scanner grants an attacker complete infrastructure compromise across multiple organizations instantly.
So we have this wild dichotomy. On one side, incredibly sophisticated hardware defenses like the Switch 2 that take a genius to crack just a millimeter.
Right.
On the other side, critical software flaws in enterprise systems that let attackers basically waltz right in. But this brings us to the core thesis of the Tekken Morning Report. Why spend months fighting ARM64 pointer authentication codes or race against CISA patching deadlines to find a zero-day exploit when you can just politely ask for the keys to the vault?
This is exactly where the paradigm shift reveals itself. The weakest link in security is no longer the code.
It's us. It's human trust. Let's go back to that terrifying scenario I mentioned at the very beginning of this deep dive. The PlayStation Network account hijackings.
Yeah, this is rough.
Attackers are currently seizing complete control of PSN accounts, and they aren't using malware or code injection. They just need your email address and one single purchase detail.
It is a breathtakingly simple social engineering attack. The attacker finds out your email and, let's say, the date you bought a specific game 3 years ago.
Yeah.
They spoof your caller ID so the phone system thinks the call is coming from your house. They call Sony PlayStation support, claim to be you, and state they've lost access to their account and need a recovery.
The support agent asks them to verify their identity. The attacker reads off that one purchase date. The agent says, "Looks good to me," and processes the identity match right there on the phone.
Nice, like that.
The report specifically highlights the story of Colin Moriarty, the former IGN editor and Kinda Funny Games co-founder. On May 18th, 2026, his two-decade-old account was hijacked exactly this way. The attackers even used his stolen account to send a taunting message to his co-host saying, "You're next."
And once the support agent approves that fraudulent request, the attacker dictates a new email address. The agent changes it.
giving him the keys.
Yep. The attacker then has the agent disable two-factor authentication and remove any registered passkeys. The original owner, in this case, Colin, is permanently locked out because all the verification methods now belong to the attacker.
Here's where it gets really interesting and where I have to push back hard on the narrative we're constantly sold by the cybersecurity industry.
Okay, let's hear it.
We are hammered with the idea that two-factor authentication is the ultimate shield. It is the gold standard of digital protection. But if a human customer service agent making hourly wages can just permanently turn off my 2FA because somebody on the phone read them a transaction date from 3 years ago, isn't our reliance on these software security layers fundamentally broken?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you are hitting on the most disturbing realization in modern security. Social engineering is currently the most dangerous threat landscape precisely because it bypasses the software layer entirely.
Right. It doesn't matter how strong the lock is.
It absolutely does not matter if your digital vault is protected by a 10-foot-thick steel door of military-grade cryptography, if an attacker can just convince the human security guard to hand over the master key. 2FA protects you brilliantly against unauthorized software logins. But when the attack vector is a human conversation, all that cryptography is rendered meaningless.
And that reliance on other people brings us directly to the Valve data leak. Valve, the company that runs Steam, is known for having robust internal security. But on August 10th, they had to send a very uncomfortable email to their European Steam hardware customers.
Because between July 29 and August 1st, their official European shipping partner, CEV Logistics, was hit by a massive cyber attack. And CEV handles the physical shipping for things like the Steam Deck.
Valve's digital vault held up perfectly. But you can't download a physical Steam Deck over the internet.
Nope.
Valve had to share customer data with CEV to get the boxes to people's houses. And CEV's database failed. The attackers walked away with customers' full names, street addresses, phone numbers, the email addresses linked to their Steam accounts, and the exact type and price of the hardware they ordered.
Now, Valve was quick to confirm that payment information, passwords, and Steam Guard codes were not affected. CEV didn't hold that data, so it couldn't be stolen. On paper, some might look at that and say, well, no passwords were leaked, so the vault is still secure.
But the vault isn't secure, is it? Because the attackers just got the perfect ammunition for the exact kind of social engineering we just talked about.
Precisely. It creates a devastating feedback loop of vulnerability. The attackers take this incredibly specific, highly personal data from the supply chain leak and use it to craft the perfect phishing attack.
Imagine getting a text message that addresses you by your full name, mentions the exact 512-gigabyte Steam Deck you ordered last Tuesday for that exact price, and says there is a customs hold on your shipment. It provides a link to resolve it.
Yeah.
How many smart, security-conscious people are going to click that link?
Almost everyone, because the context is flawless. And once you click that link, you feed right back into the social engineering loop, handing over the keys that bypass the 2FA software layer.
Which brings us to the inevitable fallout of all this. When human trust fails, and when supply chains leak millions of data points, where does all that stolen information actually go?
It doesn't just evaporate.
No, it pools together into massive weapon stockpiles for the next wave of attacks. And according to the Tekken report, we just witnessed the largest accumulation in the history of cybersecurity.
Yeah. In June 2026, a researcher from Cyber News found an 8.3 terabyte Elasticsearch database. And when we say found, we mean it was just sitting out on the open internet.
Oh, man.
No password, no authentication, just an open port and a search bar waiting for anyone to look inside.
This part made my stomach drop. Inside that open database were 24 billion plaintext passwords and URLs. That's billion with a B.
To give you some scale, the previous record holders were massive compilations like RockU 2024, which had about 9.95 billion passwords. Then there was the MOAB breach in 2024 with 26 billion records.
But the report notes MOAB was mostly just old, personally identifiable information stale data.
Exactly.
The Tekken report highlights a critical, terrifying difference with this new 24 billion record database. It was compiled from 36 different sources, heavily featuring live InfoSealer logs ripped straight from Telegram channels dedicated to credential trafficking.
That is the crucial distinction that changes the threat model entirely. InfoStealers are a specific type of malware. They don't just grab a dusty old password from a website breach that happened 5 years ago.
Right.
Once an InfoStealer infects your device, it sits quietly in the background and silently siphons off your data in real time. It logs the exact password you typed in this morning, the specific URL you used it on, and critically, It steals your session tokens.
We need an ELI-5 on session tokens because the report drops a staggering statistic. 80% of multi-factor authentication bypass incidents are now caused by session token theft. How does stealing a token bypass my 2FA app?
Think of your session token like the invisible ink stamp you get on your hand when you enter a concert venue.
Okay, I like this analogy.
When you first arrive at the door, you show your ID and your ticket. That is your password and your 2FA code. The security guard checks them, verifies you are who you say you are, and gives your browser a session token, the hand stamp. This way, when you walk to the concession stand or move to a different section, you don't have to show your ID and ticket every single time. The venue just looks at the stamp.
So the InfoSkewer malware just copies my hand stamp.
Exactly. The malware grabs that token and sends it to the attacker. The attacker pastes your token into their own web browser halfway across the world. The website server looks at the connection, sees the valid hand stamp, and thinks, oh, they already passed the 2FA check an hour ago. Let them right in.
So what does this all mean? I have to ask you this directly, because looking at all these pieces together feels like we are reaching a breaking point in how we live online.
It really does.
If a customer support agent can just bypass my 2FA on the phone, and if my own computer gets a piece of InfoSkewer malware that copies my hand stamp and renders my authenticator app entirely useless anyway, are traditional passwords and 2FA effectively obsolete as of August 2026?
This raises an important question, and it is the exact debate keeping security professionals awake at night right now. The harsh reality is that static credentials, passwords that don't change, and traditional 2FA codes that rely on static session tokens are proving severely inadequate against this modern, multi-layered attack ecosystem.
Which perfectly encapsulates the big picture synthesis of the ticket analysis. Cybersecurity has transformed. It is no longer just a software arms race where nerds try to outcode other nerds. It is a psychological battlefield.
Spot on.
Attackers have realized that hunting for expensive zero-day exploits in complex code, like we saw with the Switch 2, is incredibly difficult. Mm. It is infinitely more efficient to hunt human trust, exploit supply chain relationships, and weaponize our own convenience against us.
The perimeter isn't a firewall anymore. The perimeter is the human being sitting in front of the screen.
So how do you actually adapt to this new reality? The Tekken Report lays out 5 immediate, actionable steps based on these specific threats. We aren't just going to read you a list. Let's talk about how these actually counter the attacks we just broke down. First up, combating that 24 billion password leak.
You must install a dedicated password manager, whether it's Bitwarden, 1Password, or something similar. With 24 billion plain text passwords floating around, reusing a password across multiple sites is digital suicide. You need unique, random 16-character passwords for every single service.
Because if they steal your password for a random forum, you don't want it unlocking your bank account.
Exactly.
And speaking of assuming the worst, action step number 2 is to assume your passwords are already in that 24 billion record leak. Seriously, just operate under the assumption that your current passwords are compromised and change the important ones today using that new password manager.
Now, to counter the specific social engineering attack that hit Colin Moriarty on the PlayStation Network, you need to create a dedicated, unpredictable email address that you use strictly for PSN and absolutely nothing else.
Right.
If an attacker doesn't know the email address associated with the account, they can't even begin the social engineering process with customer support.
It effectively hides the vault door.
Yeah.
Now, what about the info stealers? If they can just steal my session token hand stamp, how do we fight that?
This is where you must transition to passkeys, wherever they are supported. Google and PlayStation are pushing them heavily right now. Passkeys are fundamentally different from traditional passwords or SMS codes.
Oh, so?
They rely on cryptographic keys tied directly to the physical hardware of your phone or computer. An info stealer can't just copy and paste a physical hardware key the way it copies a session token.
Okay, that makes sense. And finally, a very specific call to action for any network administrators listening. If you are managing infrastructure running Arista VeloCloud or Enable N Central, you must apply those security patches immediately. The CISA deadlines have expired, and attackers are actively scanning for open doors. Don't let your company be the next supply chain breach.
Implementing those 5 steps takes time, but it radically shrinks your digital attack surface in a world where software defenses are constantly bypassed.
It builds a much stronger wall around your digital life. But I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you go about your day.
Oh, this should be good.
We started this deep dive talking about digital vaults and how attackers have figured out it's easier to trick the human security guard than to break the steel door. Right now, our entire digital existence is secured by verifying what we know: a password we memorized, a passkey stored on our device, or a transaction date from a past purchase. But if human beings can always be manipulated, social engineered, or tricked into giving up what they know, will the future of security have to abandon passwords entirely and rely strictly on verifying who we physically are? Retinal scans, DNA analysis.
It seems like the only logical escalation left in the arms race.
But if we hand over our physical biometrics to secure our accounts, what happens to our privacy when artificial intelligence inevitably gets good enough to fake our voices, our faces, and our physical identities too? How do you prove you are you when a machine can do it better?
That is a terrifying thought.
Something to think about as you update those passwords today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Stay safe out there.